If you want to actually know what's going on, I don't know, ask somebody. Those announcements were funny, but I don't know what's happening. I was listening. I was distracted by the flowing mullet. I just couldn't get past it. No, that was awesome, boys. Nice work. It's good. I love being in a church where you can have fun. So good. So good. Woo! Who's excited to be at Explosion? I'm excited. I was away last week up in Penrith. Toddy made the drive with me, and what a drive it was. Little bit lost. I don't think if you were here this morning, Adrian was talking about how good a team him and Liz are. I don't think Toddy and I are such a good team with the directions, but we'll get there. We'll work it out. It was a debacle, would be the word that best described our trip to Penrith. But we made it there on time. It was a great church, they're great people, and it was a lot of fun, but I'm glad to be back at Explosion, because I just love everything God's doing here, and just an incredible group of people. Thank you, everybody who sent me messages, too. It was really nice, and I was really humbled and just blessed to... I'm just blessed to be part of such an amazing group of people who just have such a huge call on all of our lives, and that God is doing just amazing things with, and it's just a blessing and a privilege to be part of this church, amen? So good. All right. Whoop, just kicked my thing. Who likes all the stuff, the new thing and the things? Nice work to all the boys who are here climbing up scaffolding and doing all that silly stuff. These backdrops took such a long time to get straight, but they're there, so it's good. Just don't, if you touch them, I'll break your leg. No, I'm joking. If you hit the projector with a ball, we will not be happy, because then we'll have to get back up there and fix it. But anyway, isn't it good? Yeah. Nice work, boys. Thank you very much. Everyone who put in a lot of work to make that happen this week. All right. Just going to get into my message tonight. Before I do, I just want to pray. God, just thank you for everything that you've got for us and everything that you do for us. God, that you want to speak to us tonight and you're going to speak to us through your word, Lord. I just pray that you'll just use me tonight for your glory and your honor, and that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say to us, God. That you would challenge us, that you would stir our hearts, God, and that this would not just be a nice message or something like that, God, but that you would do something in our lives. That God doesn't just affect us right now, doesn't just kind of make us sit up and listen, but God, that it would be something that we can take into our week and into our life and be just ambassadors for you, God. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy and for everything that you have done for us. And God, we just cannot ever get past how amazing that is. And thank you, God. Amen. Who likes that new song too? I'm just excited tonight. There's just so much stuff. It's just all woo. I love it. I just love that statement of faith. Just our God is love. And that's such a truth and such a powerful statement, and just to be like, God, you are love. Like, you're not just loving, you are love, and I love it. But tonight I want to talk about attitude. We're continuing our series on attitude. I heard that Adrian did a great word last week and was awesome, and I wish I'd been here to hear it. But that's so good. And then the week before that I was sharing about the heart. And kind of the title was, What's Your Overflow? And so I want to move on from that tonight and keep talking the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk a bit about that. But in Luke 6, we find that passage that I spoke from a couple of weeks back. And I just want to kind of read it again just so that we get a bit of a revision on that. It says in verse 43 of Luke 6, No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. Yeah? We're with it. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. We had this fig tree in our backyard in Corrimal, like at our old place, and we didn't pick anything from it at all. I think sometimes the figs fell on the ground and made a mess, but I wouldn't call any of us in our family a gardener. But anyway, it was actually a fig tree, so at least it had a bit more chance of a fig than maybe a thorn bush. Okay, it's good. It's the Bible, come on. Says that good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their hearts, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Tonight I want to talk about the mouth, hey? I want to talk about talking. That sounds like funny, but that's what we're going to do, because That's what this saying is saying. Out of that overflow of your heart, your mouth will speak. And so it's crucial what our mouths speak, isn't it? Yeah, it's crucial kind of what we let escape our lips. This is so important. I think that we live in a culture that is so bad with this. We live in a culture where the thing to do with your words is to bring somebody down. And even if you're joking, even if you're being sarcastic, the thing to do is to just tear down, is to bring down. You might say, oh, I'm just mucking around, just having fun. But we underestimate the power of what we say to people. We underestimate the power of what we say to ourselves. I remember in primary school, I think I was probably year one or two, and there was this girl in my class, and she was just, I don't know, she was a bit emotional, I guess, but she was crying in, like, we were all sort of sitting down in class, and I remember the teacher having to go at her for crying and saying, because some kid had said something nasty about her, so she was crying, fair enough. And the teacher's like, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And I remember thinking how wrong that was, because obviously the name had hurt her. Obviously the words that somebody had said had damaged her. And sometimes, like, we have this culture that says, oh, if somebody punches me in the face, that'll hurt. But if they say something horrible about me, that I'm supposed to not let that affect me at all. And that doesn't make sense, because obviously if somebody punches you in the face, that's going to heal. It's pretty easy. Like, I don't know, unless they're really good puncher, you're going to be okay. But sometimes the things that people say, and it could be people in your school or uni or workplace, or whatever, it could be your parents, could be those people that have that influence in your life, and the things that they say can affect you so deeply, yeah? In Proverbs, it actually says, in Proverbs 18, verse 21, that the tongue has the power of life and death. This is such the opposite, I think, to what the world will say about our words. Like, the world says, oh, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's okay just to rip on people. But she'll be right. Like, they'll be fine. Don't take it too seriously. I'm only joking. I'm only mucking around. That's what kind of the natural thing says. But the Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and that what we say can bring life or it can bring death. And that's a serious thing. And it's no accident that that's how the Bible describes it. Yeah? So I guess that's what I want to talk about tonight. Whether we will live and choose to live in the culture of the world that says it's okay to just tear down with our words, or we would live a biblical culture, yeah, that says that there is power in what you say, and that that can be used to bring life, or that can be used to bring death, and that we wouldn't be people that unwittingly just destroy others with our words, or destroy ourselves with our words, but people who build others up, people who encourage, people who enable, people who grow, who help other people, and through the things that you say, that somebody's life is better for it. And that's a challenge. Do you think that some other people's lives are better when you say that thing to them? Is what you're saying helping their life, helping the way they feel, or is it damaging? Is it destructive? These are real questions, and I think something that we take so lightly, but the Bible takes so seriously. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. Is that cool? You with me? Don't be distracted by the blue lights. You can get into it. It's all right. All right. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Where's the wig, Mitch? It's gone. The mullet's gone. Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I just want to share from James. James 3. If you've got a Bible with you, just open it up and look at it, because it's a big passage, and I'm going to read a bit of it. So James 3 is this, like, kind of crystal clear message about the power of our words. And when we're talking about attitude, I think that the words we say contribute so much to our attitude and to the attitudes of others, that it's something that we can't ignore, amen? It's something that we can't just say, like, oh, well, it's all right because I was joking, my heart's really in the right place. Because if that, the Bible says, if those words are coming out, then no, that's not your heart. And so James understands this. James really gets this, and he talks about it. And he says, we're going to read from verse 3 of James 3. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses, to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Have you ever seen like the bushfires in Australia? And it started by somebody flicking a cigarette butt out of a car window. And you see this power of something tiny. And it says that the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. He gets intense about this here. He says it corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Woo! It says all kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by humans, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. He gets a bit melodramatic, but he's got a good point. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings, whom have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It says, James is saying, how is it that in our life we might say, like we might sing these songs of praise to God, but then curse the person next to us, the people close to us. We might say horrible things about our family or our friends, and in the next breath say something nice to God. And he's saying, that's not how this works. That's not how it's supposed to work. That's not the way we're called to live. That's not the way we've been designed. That's not the purpose that God had for our lives. God's purpose for our lips was that we would praise Him and that we would praise each other. That we would build each other up and encourage each other, amen? That we would do that and that we would understand the power of that. I went overseas earlier in the year, and I don't know if you've ever been on a plane, but I always love it when I get a seat kind of near the wing. Because you can look over the wing and there's like, it's massive. Like you're on a jet and there's like a couple of those engines on the wing and it's just this massive hunk of metal, which I'm always amazed that it can get off the ground because it's just this giant chunk of stuff that somehow flies. But on the wings are these little flaps. I can't remember the technical term for them. Elevators, maybe. Yeah, that could be right. We'll go with that. There's these little elevators, or flaps, and you watch when the pilot wants to steer the plane, he just lifts up the little flap. He has like a button, obviously, he's not out there. That would be heaps good, that would be the coolest airline ever. But they just have this little switch, and the little flap just goes up a little bit, and so there's this giant wing, and so this stage is a wing, and then there's this... It's even bigger than this stage. But then there's this little flap like the size of my arm, and it just goes like up, and the plane just goes like that, yeah? And it's incredible how something so small, and in comparison to the size and the power of a jet aeroplane, it can control so much. And James is saying, like obviously when James wrote this, they didn't have planes, so he didn't use planes as an example. But he's saying... your tongue is like a plane. It's like the flap. It's like the elevator on a plane. And that little thing, it says like a rudder on a ship, that little thing can control so much and can steer the course of your life. And isn't that incredible? Yeah. And I think sometimes we miss the power of our words. We miss the power of our tongue and we just underestimate it. And so then... we have this attitude that is controlled by that, and that we don't take control of. Now we become people who are destructive with what we say, rather than uplifting and rather than positive. Is that cool? You with me? If you're awake, say hello. Woo! That's good. Awesome. Thanks, guys. So tonight I kind of have this question: what do we want our lips to be? How do you want to talk to yourself? How do you want to talk to other people? Honestly, we have a choice in this. Every day we have a choice. How are we talking? Like, this seems like a simple thing, and it is a straightforward thing. This is not a complicated message. This is not some kind of deep revelation. The Bible is fairly clear. It's very clear. And it just says, look, how are you talking to people? Because the way you speak matters. The way you talk can bring life or it can bring death. And I think that we all want to be people that bring life, yeah? So kind of I want to talk a bit about how we talk. And before we get in, like most of my message tonight, I want to talk about how we talk to other people, but I want to start off by talking about how we talk to ourselves. Because I believe that it's out of that, and it's out of how we might see ourselves and talk to ourselves, that we'll talk to other people. And I think sometimes we don't think about that maybe as much as we need to. You know that everybody talks to themselves? Does anybody here talk to themselves? It is not just the realm of the crazy person to talk to yourself, but we all do it all the time. We all sit there in the car when you think that nobody can see you, and you talk, and you say things. You say it out loud, admit it. You say it out loud, I do. You're singing along on a song, and you're going for it, and you're like, man, Australian Idol are missing out. And then you pull up at the red light, and nobody's missing out anymore because you're singing really loud and they can hear you. Anyway, but we talk to ourselves, and I think we make one of two mistakes. Either we boast to ourselves and we talk ourselves up, and that's called pride, yeah? And we build ourselves into this thing where we just think that we're the bee's knees, that we're the best, that there's nothing wrong with us in the world and we're perfect, and that is a problem. Or we talk ourselves down so much that we end up in this kind of gutter in our head where we just think we're worthless because of the stuff that we've said about ourselves. And I think if we don't get this stuff right, we can really mess our lives up. If that proverb says that words have the power of life and death, then what we say to ourselves is so crucial because we have the power to kill ourselves. That's what it's saying. So let's not do that, amen? In 1 Samuel 30, I shared this the other week with a few guys, but I want to talk about it again. This David is the king of Israel at this time, and they've gone out to battle and done all this stuff, and their enemies have come in and they've taken like all of their kids and their wives and their livestock and their stuff. They've like totally robbed everything. And in verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. It says David, another translation says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I thought about this, and I thought, like, David is here, and he has all of these people around him that literally want to kill him. But he makes a choice to build himself up, to talk himself up and encourage himself in God, yeah? And when you read on, like, it doesn't really give you much detail, but basically David goes and he asks God, can we go do this? Can we get this stuff back? And God says, yes. And so he leads all these men to go back and to take back everything that was stolen from them and more. And I was just struck that somewhere in between these men wanting to stone David and these men following him into another battle, something must have happened. There would have been some talking. And that I don't think David could have come out with faith and positivity and spoken this, I don't know what he said, but said something to make all of these men turn around and instead of wanting to kill him, want to follow him into a battle. And I believe it started when he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I think sometimes we try and have this like kind of positive talk with other people, maybe out of our own strength or out of something that doesn't come from God, and we don't realize that we can never build others up when we have internal bitterness or internal hurt, or the way we've spoken to ourselves is negative. You with me? We can't encourage other people if we don't encourage ourselves. And so before I talked about how we speak to other people, I just wanted to address that a little because I think it's so crucial and so important. And let's not be people that when we understand the power of our words, then go and say horrible things about ourselves. That just doesn't make any sense. It's like, I know how... It's like something like a hot stove or something, and you know that it's going to burn you, but you decide to touch it. Just doesn't make any sense, yeah? So let's not do it. It's silly. But I want to talk, I guess, about how we talk to other people tonight. This is so important, but it's so simple. Essentially, the key to this, I really believe the key is, don't be a jerk. Can write that down. Like, if this is something that you struggle with, write that down and say it to yourself in the morning. Say, today, Andrew, don't be a jerk to people. It will change your life. Honestly, it would. But I do have some scripture to back that up. I love the Proverbs. And when I was reading, like, stuff in the Bible about our speech and our tongue. Are you filming, Josh? I just saw him there with his phone, like, this funny angle that was clearly not a note-taking position. I was like, what is he doing? Anyway, all right. He was trying to be sneaky with it. Oh, that's what it was. Now I've drawn attention to it and distracted everybody. Okay, sorry. Forget about the camera in the front row. All right, where was I? Yeah, I was reading Proverbs, and... Proverbs is such a good book of the Bible, honestly. It just has so much wisdom about so many things. But something that I found that I was really interested in is that maybe more than anything else, like Solomon talks about how you speak. He addresses it a lot. He talks about it a lot. And I was reading in Proverbs 12, and I'm just going to read out a bunch of scriptures here from this, and then we're going to go through it again. So if you've got your Bible again, turn over to Proverbs 12 and read it with me. Verse 6 says, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." Verse 14 says, "From the fruit of their lips people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward." Verse 16 says, "Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult." 17, "An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies." 18, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." 19, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." 22, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." 25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." It is so clear, I believe, what God thinks about how we talk. It is not a complicated thing. It's right there, and there is such power in it. Amen. And I really believe that we have a choice here. And all of these proverbs were like kind of an either or choice. It's like either it says like either your words can pierce like a sword, or they can bring healing. It says they can bring death, or they can bring life. They can help you be filled with good things, or they can destroy you. Yeah. They can trap you, or they can help you escape. It's just like that. It's just like they can say, it says the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. Like they can be just waiting. You can be scheming for somebody else's death and pain, or you can rescue other people with what you say. And it's just so clear how important this is. And I really hope that you're getting this tonight, because we so often say things so kind of cavalierly or just without thought, without realizing that they bring the power of life and death to a situation, yeah? So what are you saying to people? That's a simple question. What are you saying about people? So maybe those times where you're not actually saying it to somebody, but you say it about them to somebody else. Like, that's worse, I think. But it's so important. When our talk is negative, it only ever brings destruction to yourself and to other people. when we try to bring others down, we're always going to inevitably bring ourselves down, yeah? And you feed negativity into your heart. In Proverbs 18, it says, in verse 6 to 8, I'm just going to read it, it says, "The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating." Have you ever been with people whose mouths invite a beating? Yes? You know those guys that will just mouth off, and they're literally inviting a beating? Have you ever been that person? And the things that you say make... Are you just pointing to your own shoulder there, Kurt? I saw that. That was good. It was very encouraging. But you know what I mean. Like, sometimes people just say things and they're just asking for it. And we even have that phrase, "You're asking for it," because they are. They're asking for a beating. And they just say the dumbest things, not thinking. And I think sometimes we talk, and maybe what you were thinking in your head was, "I want to bring this person down. I want to rip them. I want to destroy them so that I feel good about myself," or whatever, they did something to me. And what comes out is, "Can you please beat me up? I am being a jerk." And when you try and bring others down, you're always going to hurt yourself, yeah? It says in verse 8, that the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts. I was really interested in this because it's like, it says like the words of a gossip, like those nasty things that you say about other people or other people say, it says they go down tasty. They go in like a choice morsel, like this, I don't know, like a little bit of chocolate or something, like this tasty thing that goes in, but it says then it sinks all the way down. And you know that if you eat too much of that, it's just going to stay there and it's not going to be good for you, yeah? And it's going to fill it. And if we allow that bitterness into our heart, that negativity into our heart, that's what we're going to be filled with. If we speak it out constantly, that's what's going to get in. That's what's going to fill up. That's what's going to overtake any positivity you were trying to have. So speak life, amen, and you'll have life. Our words can have so much positive impact. Proverbs 10 says, I'm just going to get there, verse 20, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." It says that our words can be like choice silver. Our tongue can be so valuable if we use it, yeah? It can be so precious if we use it well. And this is like, really, it's a simple message tonight, but it's just such a simple truth. That's why it's not complicated. And I just guess that all I have tonight is just a challenge that we would think about how we talk to other people, how we talk to ourselves, how we talk about other people. And the Bible is so clear. What God says is so clear, and you know that it works in your life. You know the power of words in your life and the lives of other people. And I want to be somebody that brings life where I go. I want to be somebody that can steer a conversation towards life, not towards death. That doesn't invite a beating, but brings forgiveness and restoration and wholeness and growth. Yeah, and that's the plan that God has for us. That's what He designed your words for. And so, that's it. It's a really simple message tonight. Maybe the band can come up as I close. But we need to understand the effect that what we say has, and understand the power of it, and make that choice every week and every day. And so, next week I want to finish this series on attitude. I'm going to talk about our hands or what we do, because we know that like, words without deeds are kind of worthless, but I just really wanted to establish the plan that God has for our words before we talk about what we need to do. So hopefully that's cool. So I just want to pray with you. So maybe if everyone just bow their heads so that nobody's looking around. Maybe this is something that you know is a challenge for your life, and you want to be somebody that speaks life, not death, but sometimes you just don't know how to stop and you don't know how to not react when things happen around you. And I really believe that that it's not just about us making like a decision to do that, like that is a powerful thing, but that God actually wants that for your life. That's how he designed you. That's who he created you to be. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't just encourage himself. And so I want to pray with you tonight. If you want some help from God to just be somebody that brings life with your words, then I want to pray with you. If you know that you have this tendency to be negative maybe, or, and that's something you just want to not be there anymore, then I just want to give you an opportunity to respond, and we can just pray together about that. I just want to give it just a couple of seconds here. Yeah, that's good, guys. Thanks. I think this is something that's just such a part of Australian culture that we just don't need to be a part of our culture. God, I thank you for all the hands raised, God, for people that just want to honor you with their lives and honor you with their lips and with what they say, God. And I pray that you would just work in our hearts, God, that this wouldn't just be an external choice, but this would be something that you move deep within us. God, this would be something that you affect deep into our hearts, God, that you would change us, that you would transform us with your power and your word, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts and fill our hearts with your love and your mercy so that that would overflow in how we speak to other people. God, we pray against just the stuff of our culture and our world that says it's okay to bring people down, and pray, God, that we would be a difference, God, that we would not be of this world, God, that we would be your ambassadors, and God, that means that we speak life, we speak love, we speak truth. And God, I pray that you would just help us all to do that, God, and everyone whose hands are raised, God, that you would just be moving in their hearts, God, that you would just be helping us, and that every day we would meet with you and fill ourselves with you, God, so that what we speak is life and is you, God. Amen. Awesome. Before we finish, I really want to give you an opportunity, if you don't know God, to make a decision for him. We were singing like all of these songs tonight just about how much God loves us and what he's done for us and the response of our life to that. And it's such a powerful thing, and it is the most powerful thing ever. And the truth of it is that Jesus died for you. That left to ourselves, we make mistakes, we do things wrong, we can't have that connection with God. But Jesus, because God loved us so much, it says that he sent Jesus to earth to die for our sins. So Jesus got on the cross and he took that punishment for us so that we didn't have to have it. He took the things that we've done wrong, that maybe it's negative talk or mistakes that you've made or circumstances or stuff in your past that you know have separated you from God. And he took that all so that we could be washed clean, so that we didn't have to carry it. And God wants relationship with us. He loves us, he loves you, and he wants relationship with you. And so tonight, if you want to say, yeah, I want forgiveness for the stuff that I've done wrong, I want relationship with God because I'm just realizing that he loves me, then I want to pray with you tonight. Maybe you can raise your hand with me while nobody's looking around, and we'll pray together. God loves you and he has an incredible plan for your life. It's the truth. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have life to the full, and he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to speak to him, and he wants to speak to you. He doesn't want you to be bound by the stuff and the circumstance and the pain, but he wants you to be free and totally released from that, and he wants eternity with you in heaven. And that's what we're about, and that's what God is about, and that's why God is love. And so maybe just, I'll just give you a final opportunity if you want me to pray with you tonight about that, just to raise your hand. Sweet. Awesome. Maybe everyone just stand with me and we'll just pray this prayer together, and then we'll finish up. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.